The bullshit light is on.
Everyone, take a seat and shut your mouth.
It's time for Gay Talk 2.0.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome everyone to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. My name is Tom and I am your host. And on today's show, we fly high with actor, producer, and writer Brandon Salerno. He stars in the gay web series Flying High with Charlie. And we'll have more on him on the second half of the show. With me in studio are my forgotten comrades. Y'all remember last episode? I totally forgot to introduce my comrades. Bitch, you forgot to introduce us. I was like, ooh.
What about us, motherfucker?
I'm in trouble now. Well, I am not going to forget this time. Our two fabulous co-hosts, say hello to the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And the one and only all the way back, fresh off the German boat.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about...
We nailed that,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, we really did. That was probably the best one.
Yeah, we were
Bernie
on point.
Fingers came out for that.
That would be Dave. Or is it Bernie?
No, the Bernie... No. Bernie Sanders fingers.
Oh, sorry.
By the way, speaking of Bernie Sanders, I was talking to Chris about our wedding the other day because I have to plan it.
Is Bernie going to officiate?
He just goes, I don't care. Just tell me what day I have to be there. Also... Bernie has to be there. And who else did you say?
It was Justin Trudeau and Bernie Sanders must be in attendance.
And I said to him, I was like, Justin Trudeau, fine. But Bernie, really?
Well,
it was like, Bernie will be there.
If I go, my girl Hill Dog has to come too.
Well, I just said...
I said Hill Dog's invited.
All I said, okay. I would love that. When Nick's planning the wedding, I said, I demand a string quartet, Justin Trudeau, Bernie Sanders, and just text me the details the morning of. Just be like, yo, we're getting married now, here, then I'll see you. Okay.
How the hell did we get into that conversation?
I don't know.
Bernie fingers. It's my first time back in the studio with you guys, and we just segue immediately.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I told a guy that I'm sort of seeing Tommy will be my getaway car driver on any wedding I'll be at.
Yeah, because I never want to go to weddings, so I'll just sit outside.
That's true.
Drink.
Back in episode four or something, you said your pathological hatred for going
Seriously,
to weddings.
I do, and it's like, oh my God, it's like, why do you keep inviting me?
All I have to say is I have so many fucking weddings this summer already.
Oh, it's, you know, not for nothing. I love that people fall in love or whatever. It's just like, please don't. I will say, though, one of the best weddings that I have ever been to was my best friend's wedding. But that's only because...
It was a movie.
I was going to say, that's like a movie, isn't it?
Well, no. My real best friend's wedding, which I helped her organize. And I sat here right on this table. And we literally made so much of the things that you saw at this beautiful hall. You know, and yeah, we got into a lot of trouble in that episode. So
Tom and Nick, if you guys... Tom and Nick, if you guys are looking for some wedding advice, you should check out Gay Talk 2.0. We have the weddings do's and don'ts. I believe it's episode 4. Give it a listen. I'll help you out.
I'll make sure to do that. Thanks, Chris, for that wonderful introduction of episode 4. And to our listeners, it is available on iTunes if you want to go and listen.
Yeah. I was a cunt for that episode.
You were a cunt for most episodes.
Oh.
I've kind of become comfortable saying cunt. On the air.
Yeah. Well, you called Sarah a cunt.
No, Nick called Sarah a cunt, and then when she walked out, then she came back in, I'm like, Sarah, Nick called you a cunt.
So we had an amazing time during our live episode last week. That was
a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you again to Partners Cafe for hosting us. And for everyone that came out that listens to our show, thank you. Thank you so much for coming to see us. It was amazing.
Thank you, Belvedere.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Belvedere.
Belvedere Vodka actually featured all of our specials for that evening, and that was amazing. Mm-hmm. So speaking of Belvedere and cocktails, because we have our friend Brandon Salerno joining us, and he is, like we said before, currently acting in the
Flying High
gay web series Flying High with Charlie.
So many words.
Yeah, it's like tongue twister. We wanted to come up with a signature cocktail that would complement him being on the show, and I'll let Chris take that one over.
It actually happens to be my favorite cocktail as well, so I've been wanting to bring this one on since the beginning. It's the Aviation Cocktail. It's an old American classic, and it consists of Aviation American Gin, or any gin you want to get your hands on, creme de violet, maraschino liqueur, freshly pressed lemon juice, and some simple syrup. You shake that all up, shake it really, really, really good. You want it really cold.
Vigorously.
Vigorously, that's the word we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Strain it into a classic coupe glass and garnish with a either a cherry on a pick, but I don't usually do that. I like the lemon peel, just a little lemon peel in there.
Yeah, just shake it like you're shaking a cock.
There you go, Tom.
Cherry on a pick.
Cherry on a pick.
Cherry
All
on
right,
a pick.
So that's our cocktail. We got a lot to talk about today.
It is, you know, I'm not usually very... It's not very partial. I'm not a very partial to gin. I never have been. But this is actually really good. It's actually very refreshing.
It's
Thank
the creme. My pleasure. It's the creme de violet. And if, when you're looking for a cherry liqueur, go for the Lusardot one. They're the company that make the cherries that are soaked in port wine. But the Lusardot maraschino liqueur is the way to go.
That's awesome.
I really felt like you were trying to get there. And it was just like stumbling.
I couldn't. Yeah. Yeah, that was difficult.
Mm-hmm. I like beat you up today, so it's okay.
You did. You're kind of a cunt. I said it like five times since we started.
We're going to alienate our entire lesbian listenership.
That's not true. We have a lesbian coming on next week.
We do.
I know. And she's
I'm totally
amazing.
Excited about it.
Amazing. She's yep. amazing. Yeah. Our girl, Jess, is going to be on the show, but we're going to have more on her later on. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so speaking of people that we've talked about on the show, the week before last, we covered a story about an actor. His name was Chris Salvatore. And, ooh. Jeez.
Girl, turn the mic off when you're blowing your face out.
I did turn the mic off. I have a little bit of a cold.
Now, it's okay. You know, it's human. It happens. We're okay. As long as you guys are okay with it.
Tommy doesn't let me call out.
Yes. Yeah, send all of your hate mail to NBUS it, pretty much. No, but you know, we spoke about Chris Salvatore, and if you're not familiar with Chris Salvatore, what he ended up doing was he had a neighbor who he became very fond with because he was doing this video series with her, and they became such amazing like companions that he actually, because she was battling cancer, moved her into his apartment so that she could save money and so that he could help her with treatment and stuff. Well, unfortunately, even with that kind amazing gesture that this man did, Norma, who was his neighbor, has passed away. And so now Norma is resting in peace. And, you know, I still say that this man is probably one of the best people on this planet for doing what he did. And my sincerest condolences to him and anyone that's been affected by Norma's death.
We should try to have him on Gay Talk because he is gorgeous.
Yes, he is.
And he's very sweet. He genuinely cared about this woman. Like, that was such a beautiful story. And he's talented in the movies he's in, the Eating Out films. He's very funny. And mm-hmm. yes, he is very, very, very good looking.
Very cute.
Yeah. When I first saw that article, I was looking at it. I'm like, is that him? Like, it kind of looks like that guy from Eating Out. And then after we brought it up, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, it is.
Well,
him.
Yeah. I mean, he was in what, three or four of those movies?
He was in, I think, three, four. And I only saw three and four that I know he's in. I don't know if maybe five or six. I don't know how many they made, but.
No, they were great. But speaking of love, Chris, you have an amazing story.
This story is one of the best articles I've ever read. There were hundreds of World War II love letters that were found between two gay men, and they were both British soldiers serving in the Second World War.
Oh my God! So there's nothing better than two men with an accent just loving each other.
Trying to love each other. So the letters were discovered, and the two men were. Gilbert Bradley and Gordon, I don't know if it's Boucher or Boucher. I'm going to say Boucher. The letters from Gilbert Bradley to Gordon Boucher. And they were discovered in Bradley's home after his death in 2008. And after going through all these, beautiful letters that people finally found.
Wait, can I ask you? Okay, name the two individuals again.
The two individuals. It was Gilbert Bradley who was writing these letters to Gordon Boucher.
And they found the letters in
Bradley's home. Bradley passed away in 2008, and after going through the house after he died, they found,
all the letters that he received from his
exactly.
lover.
Yep, yes, okay. Exactly. Sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I want to know who's sending the letters and who got them.
Exactly. So after, unfortunately, he passed in 2008, and all these letters were found, and during this time period, homosexuality was illegal, mm-hmm. and if you were in the military, you could actually be shot if you were caught having gay sex. So a lot of people would never send letters, and he would send it with a G, which people thought for an initial for the girlfriend, but it turned out to be Gordon, that that's what it stood for. And one of the letters read, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our letters could be published in the future in a more enlightened time? Then all the world could see how in love we are." And that was absolutely beautiful. And I'm humbled to be able to share that. Now, it's...
Is there a place where we can read all these letters?
That I'm looking into, actually, as I was looking into that today.
Please, if you can find out, let us know, because...
We could read a letter as a show.
Yeah. I mean, that could be our next segment.
Yeah. Sure, she'll cry every day, but...
it really is humbling. Like, we are essentially doing what they wish. Like, we are sharing it. We're publishing it with the world. And unfortunately, it is believed that the two were never reunited after... the end of the Second World War, and that they had to go on to live two separate lives, but they had something that was absolutely beautiful and something that probably kept them going in such a terrible, hard time, just being able to speak with one another. And now one of their wishes came true. The world knows about how in love they really were with one another.
So where are these letters now?
They're in a museum, and some of them are in a museum in London.
Okay.
So I want to figure out where you can see some of them or where we can learn some more information.
Yeah, I hope that there is some, some type of like digital publication where those letters are available. And, you know, we beseech our listeners, if you guys in any way, shape, or form have any idea on how we can access them, we definitely have an interest in reading them, because to me, that's just the best, absolute best connection that anyone can ever have.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than reading correspondence between two Englishmen, because the way they write is just so amazing. The way their choice of words is very unique. Like, you can tell when an American is writing a letter, and you can definitely tell when a British person is writing a letter. So I just love the British accent. I love their language. Even though it is English, it's different.
Right.
You know, the way they talk, the way they use their words.
Well, we don't really speak different. English.
Well, but we do have something in common with them, because, you know, if you think about the letters, they were probably writing in cursive. And here at Gay Talk, we constantly speak in cursive. So there's
some kind of connection right there. There's some kind of connection.
That is perfect.
It's crazy to me to think about this couple that probably never got to be together, but shared something so intimate via these letters. I mean, and it's so emotional. Like, I'm a queenie bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I can never imagine not being able to share my love that I have for certain individuals, like, as vocally as I do, like with you, Tommy, and you, Chris. Like, I'm very open about how much I care about you guys, and like affectionate. And I'm the same way with any other person. I don't know how I would have functioned in a world where I couldn't express myself like that.
Like, that would be...
I probably would have been shot. I would have been probably martyred, because there's no way I could... I'm just like, you know, so loving and emotional. There's just no way.
And she cries at the drop of a dime.
I fucking do. I do.
So there was something that happened at the bar. Can you tell me about... This is how emotional this bitch is. What happened with the stapler at work?
Oh, my God.
Emotionally unstable and crazy. Can you tell me what happened? What was your interaction with the stapler at the bar, and what happened?
Okay,
I told you I was gonna. I told you I was gonna throw you under the bus.
So there is a point, and you guys can both speak to it, mm-hmm. when you're serving tables or behind the bar, where you get so busy,
or probably serving customers on the airplane.
Yeah, true.
Okay,
good job. Where you just, you literally like, don't talk to me, don't try to interact with me. I'm really busy. I've got like 1,000 orders in my head. I'm trying to do all this stuff. And you're just like, kind of in a zone, you know? You're just in your zone. And you're tired, and you're stressed, and people are yelling at you because they want a fucking vodka soda or this or that. And so, whatever. This one person ordered a drink. It was probably just like a beer, and then wanted to close his tab. And I was like, sorry, it's a 2-drink minimum. And he was like, well, I don't want another drink. And I was like, I'm going to close this for you this one time, but know for the future that it's a 2-drink minimum. Mind you, like, I've got a slew of people waiting for drinks, and it takes a good couple of minutes to close out a credit card.
Mercy.
So I go and I close out the credit card. I run it, rip off the receipt, and I go to staple it up. I go to staple it to the index card, because that's what we do at Partners. We take the receipt and staple to an index card. And I clicked it, and there were no staples. And I just kind of fucking lost it. and then there weren't any additional, like, extra staples by the stapler where we put the extra staples. So I was just like, where the fuck are the staples? Where the fuck are the fucking staples?
So anyway, I started asking, okay, yes. Can someone explain to me what the hell happened to Nick and the stapler? And of course, the owner's husband, Bernie, who we absolutely love, comes down and is like, just don't bother Buss it right now. Don't talk to him. He's having a moment. There was no staples.
Moment, that's a fucking meltdown.
Are you kidding me? It was like nuclear, like, but meltdown.
That was probably over a year ago, and I still haven't lived it down.
It came up yesterday because you're being a cunt, and I shot you with a staple.
No, that's not why it came
that's
up.
That's why someone said, oh, don't point the stapler at her. Don't point the stapler at her, Chico.
Every time, for some reason, every time we have staplers that run out of staples, it happens to me, and I have to refill them. It's serious. And on top of that, when I went to work my other job the other day, we have a printer in my office, and there are usually three staplers above the printer with a bucket of pens, so that if we're ever doing work...
If you tell me that not one of those goddamn motherfuckers had staples in it...
You know what? Here I am trying to tell a story, and this bitch just ruins the punchline. What the fuck?
That is not cool.
No, we'll cut you.
But anyway, so literally, I was printing out all of these invoices, and you have to attach the receipt to the invoice, and then you submit the stuff. And I literally went through each stapler, and they were all out, and none of my coworkers know what happened at Partners, and I'm standing in like the like break area by the printer, and I'm like, what the fuck? Why are there no staples in the staplers?
If you can see him right now,
oh my God. That's why we need to start recording this shit.
I can't, but like literally, it's like I freak out one time, and it just follows me around. Even at my full time job, the staples are never in the goddamn stapler. Just keep it filled, people. It's poor not thing. That hard.
But then we would miss out on this loveliness,
darling. Forget I even asked. Seriously. But speaking of staples and separation anxiety from, you know, the stapler gun, there was some sort of segregation bill somewhere that you wanted to talk about.
Hey, well,
and, you know,
I don't really want to talk about it. You just like make me like talk about things.
I know. Just like you and the stapler thing. You know, you don't want to fill it up, but you still find yourself sticking staples in there. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I shoot staples at people.
Yeah.
Just like Chris does.
Yeah. Well, ooh.
One time. Mm, you're being a cunt.
There's the word, six times.
They're going to start tallying that up.
Telling him.
How many times Chris says the C word?
Mm. So yes.
There's an anti-segregation bill.
Boo.
Out of Kansas. And on Tuesday, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly approved a measure designed to bring this segregation bill to the floor. It's a religious liberty bill. But it literally is, it's an abomination. It's like horrible. It's giving anybody anywhere in the state of Kansas the right to discriminate in any way. I mean, like, if people, gay couples can get kicked out of hotels, gay couples can be turned away at any business.
Now, mind you, this is the state that gave you the gayest icon ever, Dorothy.
Oh my God. I was like, where's he going with
this? I thought
he
was going to say Toto, but hey.
No, Dorothy. I mean, she was running around that yellow brick road with ruby red slippers. And didn't her house, like, get blown away in Kansas or something?
Well, a tornado took it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well,
bye, Felicia.
She was like, I need to get the fuck out of this state because of these motherfuckers. But I mean,
you can lose your, employers can, you know, fire you just for being gay.
And here's like, what's worse about it is if a gay couple sues for discrimination, not only will they lose, but they will be forced to pay their opponent's attorney's fees. And it's literally written into the bill this way. And it's basically laid out for gay couples, but there's a clause in it for gay individuals as well. So, I mean, this is like they're taking their time to find any and every loophole to come at gay people. And again, and I've said this over and over again, since when is there not a separation of church and state? This is America. Yes, we were based in a Christian faith. Yeah, that's where, well, actually, it's not Christian. It's the Pilgrims, they were
Puritans.
Puritans when they came,
But the Puritans did not write our Constitution.
Right.
It was based in Christianity. However, the word Christ, God, to the exception of "In God We Trust" on our dollar bill.
Yep.
Is nowhere in that constitution.
Right, and it shouldn't be. This is not about your religious beliefs. It should just be about civil rights. And the fact that these Republicans are finding a way to constantly bring in, you know, well, it's their religious right to refuse you service. No, it's not. It's their religious right to have their religious opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It is my individual choice, not necessarily choice, but fate in life to be a gay man. I didn't choose to be a gay man. I am a gay man. You are choosing to be a Christian, or you are choosing this or that.
Or you are choosing to be an asshole.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how dare you, because you've chosen a religious, you know,
faction
or whatever, come at me because of something that I was born into. You know, it's just like the African Americans didn't choose to be African American. They were born African American, and they were persecuted for fucking years for it. That's bullshit.
Well, over 200 years. Well over.
They're still persecuted for it. They're still persecuted
Listen,
for it.
My thing is this. It's as you mentioned before, you know, when you come at what I don't understand, let me just put it this way. What I don't understand is we already have an amendment in our Constitution that protects your religious liberties. You have a right to practice any religion that you want. What you shouldn't be doing is inflicting that practice on others. And that's where these religious bills are coming into question, is that they're using their religion and this bill to inflict their beliefs on you. We don't believe in what you are, so therefore we don't have to take care of you. But that's not how it works in a society in where you live in a free society. And if you can't learn to separate your personal from your civil, you have a civil duty, a civil right to make sure that you treat your fellow man with respect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hurting you for being gay.
No.
My business, the only thing that bothers you, my sexual orientation, happens between four doors. Well, maybe at, you know, behind a dumpster somewhere at a bar, but
why does it have to be behind a dumpster? That's nasty.
Well, you know, back in the day, shit happened. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we'll do it in a clothing store inside, you know, the dressing room. No one needs to know, but straight people do that shit too. All I'm saying is that the normal humans do their sexual business in private. It doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form. And if that is the only thing that you're holding against us, then fuck you.
You know what really fucking bothers me? You know what really grinds my gears?
Tell me, Trish.
So I was on a date the other day, and I was holding my date's hand, walking down the street. And I'm an out, proud gay man. And I live in New Haven, fucking Connecticut. We're liberal. It's a beautiful city. I was nervous. I was happy that I was holding his hand walking down the street, but I was nervous. And why the fuck should I be nervous? You see it all. You see heterosexuals couples all the time holding their hands. But me holding a man's hand because I care for this person walking down the street, I was nervous. And that's fucking bullshit.
It's unfortunate, but we're still living under someone else's standards. And until that changes.
And, you know, during the Obama administration, I'm not going to lie to you, I feel like I probably was more comfortable because I've been in those situations before. But for some reason, the other night, I was nervous.
Well, we had someone in our nation's highest office that supported our cause and was partial to the whole situation. And we
felt like we were living in a beautiful, free world when he was our president.
Well, it was a big change when this man took over, but I will say something.
It was an immediate, abrupt change.
Right, but I will say something that I found interesting. The Trump administration has actually decided to keep President Barack Obama's top advocate for gay rights issues at the State Department. The same person that Barack Obama had put in, Trump is keeping that person.
Well, I mean, listen, As of right now, nothing has happened to the exception of a couple of
religious
freedom bills,
which have been a lot of them have been coming up since
even when Obama was
legalizing
the defense of the First Amendment.
Yeah,
Act. I don't know if that's still on the table, right?
What?
The Defense of the First Amendment Act.
I don't know.
Well, we don't know if there was supposedly there's rumors that he's going to sign an executive order instructing Congress to. Mm-hmm.
No, it's an act that would go through Congress and be put on his desk. And if put on his desk, he said he would sign it.
And what is this act?
I believe basically what it does is it's like a religious liberties act. It would be on
a federal level.
Right. It basically gives people the right to discriminate based on religion. So it's protecting the First Amendment or the right to your religious beliefs, right? But then extending that to then persecute other people for your religious beliefs, which is a scary fucking thought.
Yes, it is.
I haven't heard much about that, but I think that's still on the table.
You know, and speaking of Congress, speaking of the Senate, I think we should jump into our segment, Angels and Assholes. And speaking of senators, we actually, as we stated before, ran out of senators that voted against sensible gun control reform. And so, therefore, we are going to now just start naming
assholes.
Honorary assholes. Yep. And so we decided that we were going to change the format going forward because we have no more assholes.
I mean, we can always call those senators assholes, but we want to bring up some new assholes just to shame them as well.
Because there are so many.
Mm-hmm. You know,
including myself. I mean, I was an honorary asshole this morning.
You were.
I was kind of a cunt.
You were both kind of cunts today.
I sent her, and she was texting, and I sent a text back, and I'm like, can you go back to bed and wake up all over again? Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Not in the greatest
I just rolled my eyes. I'm like, these two bitches are going at it again.
No, we were fine. I was waiting for liquor. I was waiting for alcohol. I wanted my...
I know. You know, I will say this. It's the worst thing. Like, I wake up super hungover on Monday mornings. Like, I'd never have a glass of water next to my bed, so I wake up, I'm like... And Tommy's like, Chris, what are we doing for the cocktail today? I'm like, dude, I'm hungover as fuck right now. The last thing I want to think about is booze.
But he was
Nick texts me when I'm watching porn, and Tommy texts me about alcohol when I'm hungover. Can you guys
did I text you
stop?
Today while you were watching porn?
No, but you know what's even worse than you texting me while I'm watching porn? Me thinking that you're going to text me while I'm watching porn. So I'm thinking about you while I'm watching porn.
I'm kind of okay with that.
That sounds kind of sick.
Chris is thinking about me while he's watching porn. Oh, so, babe.
How do you... Know
what
you,
I said? Justin Trudeau, Bernie Sanders text me the day of the event.
Thank God for porn. Anyway, so there was this... We want to kick off this honorary asshole thing with
a story.
A story about the NFL. Mm-hmm. And who wants to take that?
Well, I didn't actually see it.
So I saw the video.
Yeah,
the video was amazing. So the NFL put out a video of a kiss cam. Everybody knows what the kiss cam is. But this time they put out, it started with a heart around a woman and a guy. And then literally the guy that the woman's sitting next to turns to the guy on the right of him and grabs him and starts kissing. So the heart moves over and surrounds them and then goes throughout the entire audience. There's interracial couple, mm-hmm. there's two women, there are friends, there's...
And they were even hugging. I mean, not necessarily kissing.
Right.
They were also hugging.
It was just showing... The NFL was doing a commercial to show love for one another and appreciation for each other.
Exactly. It's showing what love, what it really means to love. And that love has no race. Love has no gender. Love is love.
Yeah.
You care about the person. You don't care about the color of their skin, their sexual orientation, whether it's 6 inches or 12, unless you're Paul Anthony. No, but like what they were trying to do and the message that they sent, especially for the NFL, being that it is a very heterosexual, masculine organization, was brilliant and amazing and a strong, beautiful stance that needed to happen.
It truly was. You know, I agree that the NFL, of all organizations, is the one that stood up to really teach that, you know, love is not taught, only hate is taught.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You love naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You grow up to hate.
Exactly. You have to be taught to hate something.
So, I mean, you're born into love. You're not born into hate. I mean, some people have shitty situations and we feel for those people, but anyway. So, do you want to give
So what we're going to do is we're going to move into our segment, Angels and Assholes, and instead of senators, we're now going to use honorary assholes. So, in light of our first one, let me give Trish some love.
Thanks, boo-boo. And again, I'm sorry, I'm a little under the weather today, so if my voice isn't as raspy and sexy as it usually is, well, it's never really that sexy.
It's never really,
So, the following person has been chosen to be our honorary asshole. Christian conservative Franklin Graham condemns the NFL's Kiss Cam ad, saying that the NFL is trying to define sin as love. He states, "This generation is being bombarded with an upside-down version of truth and love. For his hate and for his bigotry, we label him an asshole."
That's right. And this episode is dedicated to Joel Rayon Paniagua, 32 years old. Dear Lando Sentinel reported the following. Joel was a construction worker who lived in Tampa. He was originally from Veracruz, Mexico. Mexico. Let me say that right with my Spanish accent. Which is where he grew up. Friends remember him as being humble, cheerful, religious, and loyal. He was always trying to make people feel better. We would like to dedicate this episode to him. His name again is Joel Rayon Paniagua. May he rest in peace. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll come back with Brandon Salerno. Please enjoy Pulse by Melissa Etheridge.
Once again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find a reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. That everybody's got a pulse. I am human. I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth? It's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of us. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
All right, and welcome back. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, our incredible, amazing guest that we had. Oh my God, what? Episode
24, 21, maybe?
It was amazing. She was great.
Yeah, that was one of our favorites.
This song has literally become a staple of Angels and Assholes, and we're just super excited.
Nick can't talk without it. He needs his love.
He needs his love all the time.
She is my love.
Yeah, she's all of our loves. Anyway, so we're back from our break, and we have an incredible guest with us. I would like for you to please welcome actor, producer, and writer to the show, Brandon Salerno. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It is our pleasure. So,
yes, just... Queen, welcome.
So, just to give our listeners a little bit of what you do, Brandon Salerno stars in a web series. Actually, you've done a couple of projects, but currently mm-hmm. you're doing Flying High with Charlie, right? Mm-hmm. Which is available on YouTube, and they're very, very short, like films, but they're amazingly.
They're funny and they're poignant. And,
exactly. So tell us about this experience. What is Flying with Charlie like?
So I play Charlie, and he's like this campy, quirky, very anxious, though, and very awkward flight attendant. And he's gay. And he's just, the series just goes through how he's, like, looking for love and the turbulence along the way.
Oh, that's funny. That's a pun.
Yeah.
You're such an asshole.
Sometimes it lands, yeah. And, yeah, he just finds himself into all these crazy situations, whether he's being chased by his crazy ex-boyfriend, Nick, who...
Nick. We have a little funny like commentary on that. So as soon as you're done, we're going to ask you some more questions on that.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
On Nick.
Like, tries to become a flight attendant to then like be like him and is always like chasing after him. And then there's one flight attendant. Oh, there's one person that he like hooks up with, and he's only hooking up with Charlie for like flight discounts and stuff like that. Or and like his work BFF who changes like every section of the series.
Which I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rotating BFF, I guess. Well, and the joke is that they all get rerouted. Like they've all been like put to a different airport. So like then he has to find a new best friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my favorite things, especially with Nick, is that your friend literally says, you know, he couldn't be with you, so literally he became you.
When
he goes to like apply for becoming a flight attendant. I thought that was like really awesome.
Hold on, time out. What are you throwing me under the bus for? I'm not that crazy.
Well, we're not talking about you yet.
Oh, okay.
But now since you mentioned it. So anyway, so we were watching the series and we were talking and Nick comes up and we look at Nick. Oh, and by the way, his name is Nick. And he's like, really? So we were trying to figure out who was the character Nick based on, because immediately as soon as we saw the character, we thought of Nick.
Chris is giving me a face of death right now because he wanted to ask that question and Tommy totally stole it.
Sorry. I'm going to say cunt for the 10th time on this episode. Now 11th time. That was a little cunty of you.
So anyway.
I don't know who he was based on.
Have we dated before?
What?
Have we dated before? Is that where this character came from?
We
are never, ever, ever.
He will stop
getting back
you.
Together. We can get back together.
If you want.
Yeah, I don't know who he was based off of. Maybe someone in the director's life. I don't know, but the director is actually a flight attendant. I should say that because he. So these are like, I wouldn't say these are based on real life experiences. I would hope not, but he definitely has a lot of funny stories, and they.
Are you kidding me?
Inspire that.
They're gay characters. Of course this is based on real stories. That's all we do in our lifestyle.
I know. Part of me was like, oh no, this guy Nick, he's somehow, there's a character related to Brandon in real life. And I was like, but I don't want to wish that on him. So I'm like, who? I figured it was from someone, but no, I'm happy you didn't have a stalker like that then.
Yeah.
So my biggest question is, how did this whole thing come about? Like, who came up with this idea? How did you get involved?
Yeah, so the director, writer, producer is Brian Pelletier. He owns the channel at Licious TV on YouTube.
Okay.
And from my understanding, he did a couple of like mini series and short films. And then I guess in spring of 2015, he came up with the idea to do the series about a gay flight attendant. Originally, I think it was actually a woman flight attendant. And then I guess he was like, let's make this LGBT and put it on the channel that he had. And then I just auditioned, like it was a backstage posting, and I just auditioned at Shetler Studios for it. And then like a couple days later, he emailed and said that he wanted me to be Charlie. And I didn't go into the audition. Like, I didn't think anything. I remember I didn't like think afterwards, like, oh, definitely got that. Or like, oh no, I didn't. It was just like a casual thing. Like, if I did, that'd be amazing. If I didn't, like, I don't know, you know, who knows? So yeah, and then after that, we kind of just started filming and then took a break after the first season was released on YouTube. And then that, he somehow got that on Amazon Prime, so it's there as well, because they have this feature where, you know, like short form videos can go on their site. And then he decided to do a season two, and then they built a Halloween set in the YouTube space. in the city. And so he wanted to do a Halloween episode special. And then in early January, we filmed the latest two episodes, which were in a green screen room.
Was the Halloween episode the one in the hotel?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that was my favorite one, by the way.
I as well, actually.
All right, that, good. That was yeah. so... That was by far my favorite one. It actually was creepy.
When you started
it really
throwing
was creepy.
Snacks at them, I died.
I have complimentary snacks.
Now run, girlfriend, run. Yeah. I thought that was great. So let me ask you a question. So what are you guys planning to come up with, like, a longer version of any of these episodes? Or is it just going to be, like anywhere between 2 to 7 minutes short snippets?
I hope so. I think what we really need is a plane.
Like, I want more. I like seriously yeah, like, want more.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we could get like a plane, like he said, like we could do like hundreds of episodes because he has all these like stories and funny things that have happened. But like obviously getting a plane in New York in 2017 probably isn't the most safest thing that we could probably they would allow us to do or something, so we'll have to hope that YouTube Space will build a set like that.
Well, I think there's a guy named what's his name, Donald Trump. I don't think he's gonna need any of those planes anymore because he's flying in some other big blue one. Wait, so maybe those might be available.
Aside from Air Force One, didn't his airlines like go bankrupt or something?
No, he was actually against that, but we can get into that later. We don't have to talk politics right now.
Well, no, I was gonna say, you know, you can use a plane.
What I think they should do is literally just get on a plane flying to like from New York to LA and just film a fucking episode.
Be like, sir, I'm gonna need you to check that big ass camera though. So yeah, it's kind of
but like how fun would that be? Like just like get on the plane and be like, all right guys, we're gonna film an episode. So like bear with all these people would be so fucking excited, but you would have to get a lot of people to sign a lot of forms for to get on the plane.
If you can have a flight attendant get recorded coming up with his flight speech in every single character of Disney. Or was it Disney, like Donald Duck and all these?
So many people. Did you
oh my God, yes. I love that video.
It's amazing. So if they can do that, why can't you come on a plane with a camera and like film, like have all your friends like come up with their iPhones and be like, all right, we're going to record an episode.
Well,
I don't know what the legal, like, I don't know how they got that. I don't know if they did that like on a break or something. And like, I don't know how we would get like, I think those two people actually were flight attendants.
Yeah, they were. He was one of the stewardesses.
I don't know how we would smuggle like a whole like group crew and like actors on.
All you need to do, just like Modern Family did the Skyping episode where they were all on the cameras, you know, the FaceTime cameras. That's all you need. You need an iPhone or an iPad and just do one episode where you're literally on a plane.
On the plane,
yeah, and then you should totally just be like, I'm taking over, by the way, sit down, you're the flight attendant, where are the snacks?
And then you just start chucking snacks at people. He's like, did you want peanuts?
No, if you want to make people happy, chuck nips.
Yes, and don't nips. Yeah, exactly.
I agree. No, so okay, so you're doing Flying High with Charlie. Are you working on any other products or projects?
I made a film with one of my best friends from NYU. Actually, the film is about a character named Charlie as well. That was by accident, and I didn't mean to like do the same name. But it's a drama, and it's about the character is gay as well. But the story has nothing to do with like his sexuality or coming out or anything like that. It's actually about I'm a computer coder, and I fall victim to alcoholism. So it's actually about like addiction and raising awareness about that. And
as we all sip cocktails
and that has gotten accepted to a couple festivals now, so we're really excited about that, to getting, you know, the word out about that. That's like one of the other big projects that I'm wrapping up now.
Do you do any stage performance?
Yeah. I should plug this.
Please.
I'm in a Commedia dell'arte troupe, which is like those mask comedy things. And we're performing at the Pit right now until the first weekend in March. These next two weekends we'll be performing there.
And you're saying the Pit?
Yeah, the People's Improv Theater.
Okay, and where is this located?
Oh,
just in case our listeners, you know, like, I have this tendency of throwing people like, yeah, let me... Go ahead. Give us some information.
24th Street and Third Avenue.
So it's, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to go to that exact address, and it better fucking be there. So
off the stop. About 23rd Street, the 6th train.
So it is in New York City.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the Improv Theater in New York City. So if you guys are interested and you want to check it out while they're there at the Pit, please do so. That's awesome. So so how many more episodes of Flying High with Charlie do you have left to record? How long is this series going to be? Because seriously, if you cut it now, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, I hope we'll do many more. There are none like definitely scheduled that I know about. Because we just wrapped up the latest two, and my director is actually moving. I think he's moving to somewhere in the Midwest area.
Why?
Sorry to hear that.
I don't know where. I maybe not so. I don't remember.
I hope it's not Kansas.
It's probably Canada.
That would be lovely.
So there's nothing like definitely scheduled yet. I hope we'll do more. What is great about the series is that it doesn't follow necessarily a very straightforward storyline. Like we can do like a special here and like a couple episodes here about like this one topic or this one instance. There's no like the storyline isn't as like isn't taken as seriously. It really can be like each one could be almost standalone. So I think like it'll just like come about spontaneously. Like if an idea pops into his head about like, oh, this funny thing happened to me, so I want to do this now.
And he's gonna be like, you need to fly out to Iowa. We have some. We're gonna have to get some potatoes. We're gonna have to find a small jet plane,
and we'll make it work. Actually, it's probably easier to find a plane over there than it is over here. So,
yeah, probably, yeah.
So on an average, most of your episodes are at least 5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. So you're taking 5 minutes. How long of a session, a recording session, do you need to actually go through to pull out 5 minutes worth of video?
It really depends, I think, on the episode. Like, I think, like, with the last two we did, it was only, like, a 5 or 6 hour day for both of them. But, like, the Halloween one, which had a lot more action involved and more, like, set makeup and stuff like that for the zombies, that was probably about 6 or 7 hour day. So it varies. But usually we get it done pretty quick.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, well, one day work. I mean, some people, you know, do shootings and, well, they shoot at locations and it takes them days to actually, you know, just do one scene. So, and to me, this is all fascinating because, you know, we do an audio podcast, but we are actually exploring the possibility of doing some sort of something involving video. And so, you know, just to understand the logistics behind what goes on in these sets is really interesting to me.
And he can, you know, you can actually see us right now. And something we're like working on with Nick, it's like the face. Like, that's just something we got to work on.
Hold on, what are you saying?
His face.
That was so mean. I'm pretty.
You are pretty.
I know I have a cold right now and I don't look that pretty and I'm a little stuffy, but Jesus Christ, that was mean. And I can't face tune this on the regular.
Just put the white out in the eyes. And then out goes.
Got you.
We have a guest, ladies.
I don't care.
Oh, sorry.
These bitches, I deal with them all the time. This is a one-time thing for you. I'm going to cut them.
See, aren't you like really like missing being here with us in person?
I am.
It would have been.
I tried that aviation.
Oh, it's so good.
It's delicious. Yeah.
You're lying, Tommy.
No, it really is delicious, okay. Except that the second one tasted like gas because he probably put like half a bottle of gin in it.
It's so good. They're my favorite. And I was like, flight attendant and cocktails, my favorite thing ever, aviation.
I mean, like I sit around, right, and we're doing the show and we're talking and we're going back and forth. And seriously, what I'm feeling is something like this about to happen. Any minute now.
Oh, you drop a bomb?
You drop a bomb?
I dropped a bomb. Yeah, you can't hear the special effects on your side, but you're going to hear it when you hear the episode again.
Okay.
Anyway.
Something just blew up.
So we all got off track. What?
Yeah, no, one thing that I love about the show that I was able to, you know, we're all bartenders and I work at a restaurant, so I was able to relate to it. I love with the frequent flyer thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, you know, in a restaurant, when people come, like, I come here all the time. I know the owner. And it's like, they're so entitled to something. And that's where we can connect with that,
That and what was the other one? Oh, I can't find it right now, but I forgot it. I wanted to just, but the thing I liked about the show is, you know, I was wondering if you were a flight attendant, but knowing now that it was the director that used to be, yeah, it can be so relatable for people that are in the service industry. And I had thought about getting, trying flight attending a couple of years back. I looked into it, and it's just something very relatable that, you know, we deal with every freaking day.
Thank God he did, because, you know, we love him here on Gay Talk 2.0.
I'll just Skype in from the plane, right? Like we said, except, yeah.
We had a hard time Skyping you in from Germany.
That's a good point.
While he was away for like 5 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he went away. He actually went to study in Germany for like 5 weeks, and we missed him dearly.
Good for you.
And we tried Skyping him in, but yeah, it just wasn't working.
I do have to say, I'm pretty happy that he doesn't really talk as much of German as I thought he was going to come back and just like speak
I say nothing in German when I'm here.
Jawohl! Because they're words.
You're not words.
There goes that word again.
Jawohl!
Anyway, so Brandon, what is your favorite... Like, when you were recording all of these episodes, tell me, like, your favorite moment during... Was there any, like, blooper reels or, like, moments where you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Oh, my God. Please tell me there's a blooper reel.
Oh, there's got to be.
I'm sure there is somewhere. It's not online yet that I know of. But I'm sure there is one definitely somewhere. I would say the funniest... I mean, I loved everything about the Halloween episode. Like, that was one of the best, like, days on set I think I've had, like... out of all like the episodes that we did. I mean, the actors were just spot on.
And the makeup was on point.
What did you say?
The makeup was on point.
Okay.
For those zombies?
Yeah. They had some makeup person came in and did all that. And that looked amazing. I would say probably that entire episode was like one of the best moments.
So
I mean, there've been other like really funny instances. I mean, as, like a gay actor, the one of the episodes where I think I kissed one of the other, you know, Charlie kisses one of the other characters. Like that was my first time kissing another guy, like on camera, like in like for acting, like right, for production. And that was a big deal at the time for me because I'd only been out like a year or two. So like that was a memorable moment for me then.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty serious.
That's awesome. So talk about the scene with the threesome.
Oh my God, that was so uncomfortable.
Watching, let me tell you, you literally like encompassed the feeling. I remember because I've been in a couple of them. Yes. Many times. And I remember like literally like watching you on my computer screen, going through the motions of the uncomfortableness of being able to deal with two people, one on either side, and both trying to equally want your attention, but you focusing more on one than the other.
Yeah.
It all hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I remember, it's like, but I like you more than you. Why do you need to be here? It's like, you know, go away. But you can't. And so you have to like, oh, I'm touching him. Oh, let me just touch your ear just to give you some, yeah, a little bit of love. You know, that was an amazing scene, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think he really hit the nail on the head when he made the one of the episodes was titled The Ugh One. Yep. There's always one in every group that everyone doesn't want.
When he came in, your phone rang. You got like 3 messages. And well, why didn't you bring it with you? Because my hands were full.
That
was excellent writing. I thought that was like, seriously, I think that our listeners would really enjoy the fact that this is not only is it amazingly acted, because you guys did a really good job. They're not really too long. You don't have to sit here and watch like a 2-hour movie. I mean, these are short, very short clips, and they're awesome. I mean, at the end of it, you will laugh. So there, do you see yourself continuing to do funny, witty, giddy types of filming, or do you want to see yourself explore other avenues of acting, like serious roles or things of that nature?
Yeah, comedy. I always tell people comedy, I feel like, is like my thing. Like that's what I want to do the most with. And that's like if I could beyond something like Kimmy Schmidt, that would be like a dream come true. Like that style of comedy is like everything. Like that's perfect. Or Veep, which I absolutely love.
Oh, I love Julia. She's amazing.
amazing. I love Tony Hale, the guy who plays like her
assistant with the bag.
The bad guy.
He's got everything in that bag. I love it. Have you guys watched Veep, by the way?
I haven't seen it. No, I haven't wanted to.
I saw a couple episodes.
Okay, it's on HBO. You have to. They're literally 30 minutes. That's all you need to, like, every episode is like 30 minutes, but it's awesome.
But I would love to do more drama as well. And that's obviously, like, what I tried to do with the film about alcoholism, was to try and show, like, a different side of, like, acting that I don't normally do as much of.
Now, and is that available now?
No, we'll that, probably right? put that up on YouTube or Amazon Prime or something like that after. But once we go through the festivals, because they have certain rules where you can't like publicly display it. Yeah.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Well, you let us know. Keep us posted, because we'll seriously be willing to feature something on the show and let people know. But as far as this particular role, you mentioned alcoholism. Is the role in itself working towards working with any organizations that have to do with alcoholism at all?
Not yet. We haven't. We received funding from NYU, which was amazing. So they, and specifically NYU Gallatin, which is a school that I went to, and then the Gallatin Film Club, they've both given us money and have been amazing in helping to support the film. But in terms of like other organizations, we haven't been able to get anyone yet. We reached out to a few during the pre-production phase, but not as much now in post-production. But maybe we will. We'll start again.
That's awesome. Well, listen, anytime you want to, come on the show and talk about any projects that you're working on, make sure you reach out to us. It's been amazing to, chat with you and talk about, Flying High with Charlie. And to our listeners, you can literally go right on our website. We have, once we post the episode, there's going to be a link in where you can actually go and view all of the episodes that are available on their channel. And we highly encourage that you do that. And Brandon, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, guys. It's great to meet you all. Thank you so much.
No, likewise.
It's, next time you're coming in studio.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not that far. Yeah, you're not that far.
Definitely.
We were emailing and he's like, but I have to work. I was like, it's President's Day. I know you don't have to work. Like, don't even give me that shit.
Definitely, I'll come up next time.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, so let us know when you have anything coming up the pike, and we'll make sure to set something up and have it featured.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Sounds so I'll get you drunk.
What'd you say?
I'll get you drunk.
Well, Brandon, right. thank you so much, and let's chat soon.
Yes, thank you. All right, talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, sweetheart. That was Brandon Salerno.
But his initials, I just realized, are BS.
I did too. Right as it went away, I'm like, that's just bullshit.
But that's crazy. That was a lot of fun. It was good. He first of all, the show itself, I mean, we talked about it, but it's fun and it's funny and it's short. You don't have to like commit an entire day to it.
Right.
But it's like, it's just fun and funny to watch. And like, you can really see what it's like to be a gay man and like, what the fuck is going on in my life.
And I went into it. We were the other day, a couple weeks ago, I was sitting there and we were talking about it. I'm like, okay, I'll put a couple hours aside and I'll try to, knock off some episodes and check it out. See what it's all about. And yeah, you could really get through. So far, the two seasons, they have to take about a half an hour or so.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's not a big commitment, but it really is. It's campy, just like Brandon said. It's very campy, and it's interesting to see the life of a stewardess, because many people don't know what it's like to do that kind of work. I'm sure it's very strenuous, and to see it from the gay person's perspective.
I'm sorry. I think I really, really, truly enjoy the series, and I highly encourage that if you are listening, take the opportunity and look into. I'm adjusting my seat. Sorry.
Yeah, he is. He's moving around. It's on YouTube and like Brandon said, which I watched it on Amazon Prime. So if you're a Prime member, you can watch it on there, or you can go right on YouTube.
So we have some time for a couple of more stories. You guys want to jump into a couple of more things? I know that Chris, you had some stuff, and
I knew you were gonna fucking go to me when I don't have my.
Well, I can throw down. If
okay,
you want
I got
to.
One. I got okay. one. Meanwhile,
in Canada,
yeah, so obviously after Donald Trump's executive orders, with
the one that the Gay Talk 2.0 one.
Yeah. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it was really good.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Listen to the show. It's huge.
Huge.
Huge. Huge. Huge.
Sorry, Chris.
Go, Chris.
I need that again. So, meanwhile, in Canada.
So, oh, it was so sweet last time. He's like, yeah, I know, but wait, I got to do it again. I got to interrupt you again because last week during our live episode, Nick was like, I missed that.
Yes.
Okay, go. Anyway, meanwhile,
in Canada.
Third time's a charm.
Third time is a fucking charm. So with the
I'm kidding, go.
So obviously, you know, with what we saw happen a week ago with Donald Trump's executive orders with mass deportations and the people going after illegal immigrants, a lot of people have actually been fleeing the U.S. north and crossing to the Canadian border.
Like, who the fuck are we? Like, what?
How? I'm ready to go.
No, I mean, I get it. It's fine. Like, I get going to Canada and I get why people want to go to Canada, but like, who and when did America become a place where people wanted to flee from
the United States? Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Well, it really comes down to, and that's where the story is, a lot of people that feel that they're, you know, at risk of being deported or are just afraid of that. They're like, where else can we go? Just like the slaves did, you know, let's go north, go to Canada, somewhere we can be loved. So in the past 2 months, approximately 100 people or so have been crossing over into Manitoba and crossing, you know, just into the very frigid sections of Canada where they're from. You know, they're Mexican, a lot of them. They're from the heat.
I will tell you something, though. Mexican people, they're a very resilient people. They will adopt.
Well, they have to. I mean,
look, they have no choice.
They're like trekking through feet and feet of snow where the temperature is dropping to negative 40 degrees Celsius. Fun fact, negative 40 degrees Celsius is negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit. That's where the two meet, but then they change after that. So anyway, so we're going to go over to Quebec. I was reading this article. That's a fun fact for you all. So I was reading this article and this woman was crossing the border into Quebec. And Border Patrol...
Into Quebec?
Quebec is not a word. So this lady was crossing the border.
You've been corrected.
That's right. Into Quebec. You've been corrected.
Nick, it's like we're going to have another like episode of the Staple Chronicles in a minute. But go ahead.
One of these days I'll finish this story. So this woman is crossing the border and someone from Border Patrol stops her and says, you know, look, if you keep going, I'm going to have to arrest you and then you'll be processed and all that. And she's like, no, that's fine. But instead of I saw a picture and instead of this woman being, you know, she's being arrested, but instead of her being handcuffed and towed away, the Border Patrol officer grabs her bag and helps her across the border to safety. And then, of course, yes, she broke Canadian law, so she had to be arrested and processed. But I just think, you know, God bless them all crossing that border.
It's
and
a big the people, difference.
Canada is, they're very open. Yes, they're getting the influx of refugees to North America. But from everything we're reading and everything that the fantastic Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is saying, Canada will welcome you with open arms, and we won't go anywhere and tell other governments how to govern themselves. But here in Canada, we teach love.
So did anybody see, obviously, everybody's seen Love Actually, the movie?
Yes. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But
no, Chris hasn't seen it.
I knew it. I was like, fuck.
Anyway, there is a scene in the movie where the prime minister, played by Hugh Grant, comes to America and has a press conference with the president of America, which I believe was played by Billy...
America has a president?
In this movie, yeah.
You mean the United States?
Oh, shut up. Anyway, so, comes and they have this press conference, just like Justin Trudeau and And Trump had.
No, you need to say President Trump. You need to remind America what they did.
Fine. So,
deplorable president.
Prime Minister That's Trudeau fine, but... had a press conference with President Trump
of the deplorables.
And but it was like the same kind of thing that happened in the movie where Hugh Grant, the Prime Minister of Canada, stood up and was like, no, he was the Prime Minister of Britain, sorry. But he stood up and was like, fuck you, you're an asshole, I'm not going to stand for this. And, like, literally threw him under the bus. And then, like, they had the two pictures of the movie and the press conference next to one another. And I was like, oh, my God, I wish Justin Trudeau literally was just like, fuck you, Trump. I don't give a fuck.
That's what, well, the most iconic, that's what basically Donald kind of what Dump did to Theresa May. When one of the British press people asked a question, he goes, like, is this your doing?
You guys, I literally, with that story, I felt like I was walking up a hill of ice.
Yeah, well, we've all been walking up a hill of ice. Like, yeah. Speaking in cursive and sliding up that. We can accomplish that. We slide up.
I slipped and broke my neck up the hill.
Well, it's actually perfect that you brought up that movie, because you're saying that he was the Prime Minister of the UK?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, today at... What even is the date today here in the States right now? Oh, it's the 20th.
Today is President's Day.
Yeah, the 20th of February.
Every president except Donald Trump.
Exactly. Should be appreciated on this day. But protests are actually, speaking of President Trump, protests are underway, were underway earlier in London today against, not against Donald Trump coming to the UK, but what it was against the full state visit. They were protesting that because the full state visit includes Donald Trump having a banquet with the Queen, getting a gun salute, and that's what was outraging people. They don't want the Queen to be sitting down with this man.
I don't think she will, though.
I don't think she wants to herself.
Well, they were talking about that in their equivalent of the Houses today. So that was what, and there were many protesters. As far, you know, we had many protests going on, and we had them in Chicago, New York,
every
California, yeah, the large major cities.
Even Austin had a protest.
Well, good. People should.
That's amazing.
And I will say this for our listeners or anyone out there, go out there, protest. You should be, that is our right, but keep it peaceful.
Keep it peaceful, keep it classy.
That's the only way to get our point across, is to keep it peaceful.
Here's the thing, right?
So tally it up.
I think that I would try my best to keep it peaceful, but if I saw that orange face... shit given.
There it is.
Yes.
I would probably go batshit. And y'all know how I queen out.
It would be like
Spider-Man meets Superman flying over a crowd and jumping on top of a fucking orange monkey.
Speaking of orange-faced shit given, one of the protests going on in California today, I saw a sign. I was watching CNN. Most trusted name in news, no matter what Donald Trump says against.
Exactly.
Yes. They are not the enemy of the people.
Oh, Donald Trump is the enemy of
the people. Yeah. The media is not the enemy. We're not the enemy. We're bringing you what really should be brought.
Right. The one who calls the media the enemy is a dictator in the making.
Mm-hmm. Just remember, Kim Jong-un does the same thing.
Every other one, Benito Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, you need to silence others to get your agenda pushed forward. And one sign that I saw that I loved today. Bless you.
Bless you, darling.
Were these two people, and they were painted orange, and the sign said orange fever. They had orange feeder. Fucking cursive.
Cursive.
Bless
Ooh,
you.
Bless you.
Orange fever. And the only known antidote is facts.
That's true.
That is fucking brilliant.
It is
his
amazing.
Alternative facts. That is the most absurd statement that I've ever heard ever.
But to be honest with you, here's the only thing I can say about Donald Trump. He is not lying. Donald Trump doesn't give you alternative facts. Donald Trump tells you exactly what he feels, exactly what he wants to say. It is the truth. It is his truth. It is coming out of him. The people that he has working for him, this Kellyanne Conway, like,
are trying to say the
Skeletor, like, freaking crypt keeper bitch.
I call her a barking flytrap. That's what she looks like
she
to me when
is
she goes.
The one.
She's
See,
a
that
barking
goes out
flytrap.
There and tries to spin all this
Who's
shit.
Who's been silent for the past 8 days or so.
Do you know that they don't, many news organizations are really not trying to give her the time of day anymore.
Good, they
And
shouldn't.
That's what they should have done from the beginning. The moment this bitch
went
on television.
But she also looks like
said,
somebody just like took a fucking shoe and smacked her in the face a couple of times.
She looks like she just took a couple of loads and she was
no,
just exhausted.
No, loads. No. Loads make you look better. That
no.
protein and that shit looks good on your skin.
It depends.
That bitch looks, she got hit in the face.
Okay.
Hit in the face.
I like to use. Never mind.
She
I could
looks like
get
me after a long
that.
Weekend.
All right, listen.
Puffy as fuck.
Listen. Kellyanne, we hate you. We got it. I think we should end the show on a right note. We should start wrapping it up. But before we do, I have an update on a really, really amazing story that we talked about months ago on the show. It is hard to believe that we're going to come up on our year in about 3 weeks.
It's 3 weeks away.
It literally, March 7th was when we launched our first episode.
Speaking of which,
last year,
I brought up to the group that I want to do another drunken St. Patrick's Day episode.
Yes, and you know I agreed with you. The only one who wasn't right sure now. Was Tommy.
Tommy.
So I don't want to commit to it because...
Understandable, but I think what we need to do, like we've done before with the election episode, is say, hey, listeners.
Yes!
Do you want us... to do a drunken episode on St. Patrick's Day? Because if you do, I would say we need about five people to email us and say, hey, do it.
I'm going to be President Obama right now. You bring that bill to my desk, I'm going to veto it.
Well, I guess, unfortunately, in our case, good thing he's not the president anymore right now.
Oh!
Well, neither is the current one. But anyway, let's end on a good note. So, listeners, as you saw, these bitches want a drunken episode. I'm not sure yet, so I guess
well, that's
it's in your hands.
That's because last time Tommy had like a fucking weave in her hair. And
I still have it.
I had to host the show. She's like, I'm just going to give it up to Nick because I can't do it today.
Well, you know, we shall see. So listeners, if you want a drunken episode, you let Nick and Chris know. Maybe they'll host it. And we'll find out.
We will.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
No problem with that. I love booze.
But anyway, many months ago, we reported on a story about one of our listeners who reached out to us. He lived in Vegas, and he was doing a very long-distance relationship with his partner, and he was very, very, very uneasy about the fact that he wanted to move or he needed to move from Vegas to New Jersey to be with his lover, who he was with, and he was very, very uneasy about it. And so we gave our two cents. We talked about it amongst the group. I think Paul was with us at the time. And, you know, we gave a lot of constructive, you know, criticism and a lot of constructive feedback as to what he should do or what he shouldn't do. I am happy to report he wrote in again. He goes, hey, guys, a couple of months ago, I told you guys about, you know, my dilemma about moving with my long-distance boyfriend, and I wanted to update you all, and it's been about 2 months, and I did make the move, and I went from the West Coast to the East Coast, and so far, I'm loving it. I'm over here, and it's extremely cold, but that's okay. I was nervous about living with my boyfriend, and I just did, and I'm... But I did it, and I'm happy, and it's a new experience. Thank you guys for your advice and your feedback, and keep up the great work. So to our friend Richard, who we featured on several episodes before, thank you for writing it again, and we're really happy to hear that, you know, you made the move and that it worked out for you, and we wish you well and hope that your relationship is a successful one, and if you... want to, we encourage that, you know, keep us in the loop. Let us know how you're doing. It's always great to hear from our listeners. So thank you.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, we have an LGBTQ relationship expert coming on next week.
That's
maybe
right.
She can speak to the story a little bit.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, yeah.
So let's wrap up the show. We're going to go into some announcements. Let me just go back into my notes because, you know, we do that here at Gay Talk 2.0. Okay. So I have some special thank yous to our Patreons. We have some new ones. Dave Hartman, who's been on our show several times, has signed on to be a Patreon and help the show. We have another Patreon, Alan B. and Brian B. I'm protecting the last names. And so thank you guys for becoming our newest Patreons in the month of February. And we'd also like to thank all of our other existing Patreons, Brian Mancini, who's been on the show. And let's see, we have Aaron and our friend from across the pond, Guido. I believe that's how you say it. He's from Sweden, I think.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I'm like, Guido?
Guido. Yeah. I hope he's, I got the... location right. Anyway, I want to thank you all for being for contributing to our success. And if you are listeners who are listening in today would like to become a Patreon and you know, show your support by contributing to our success, you can simply visit our website. You can click on our Patreon logo, and using the service, you, our listeners, can actually help support our show with a donation. Something as simple as $1 could actually help us come along or go a long way. So anything you can, we're greatly appreciative. Thank you.
And we're really looking forward to. Next week, we have a chat with a representative from True Colors. True Colors is a nonprofit organization that works with other social service agencies, schools, organizations, and within communities to ensure that the needs of sexual and gender minority youth are recognized, and it's really there to help all of us.
So we reached out to this organization. I got to throw this out there. And we're still working on the logistics on who is actually going to be with us. But we'll get that information. Well, obviously, we'll have it on our website as soon as we find out.
Of course.
Yeah, and honestly, it doesn't necessarily matter who will be here. It's the organization that we're here promoting.
Right.
They are local, which is amazing, because we're Connecticut-based, and so are they. And they're one of the biggest, they host one of the biggest conferences for LGBT youth in America.
It's a beautiful organization.
And they're based in Hartford. That's amazing. And I'm so excited. Their conference is coming up, and I'm so excited to have them on to talk about it, to talk about what they do for LGBT youth. And just supporting our community.
Seriously, just go to their website, truecolors.org. It's amazing.
And it's really great because, you know, Hartford and New Haven, you know, Connecticut's a very small state, but Hartford and New Haven are kind of separate communities. So it's, I feel like this is an opportunity for us to bring Connecticut in as one community.
And I think True Colors really serves that purpose. It really does go statewide and sometimes even outside of the state. So I mean, they do a lot of different conferences everywhere. Yeah. I'm super excited to have them on the show and talk about their organization.
It'll be totally fun. Yes, so definitely. Excited.
Yes.
But anyway, so thank you to our guest, Brandon Salerno. You were amazing. Thank you for joining us on our episode today. For more information on our guest and his many projects, please visit BrandonSalerno.com.
Yes.
You could also find all of his episodes on YouTube, which we will post on our website.
Yes.
Speaking of our website, our show is available on that at GayTalk20.com under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces. You can find us
just died a little on the inside.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter, at GayTalk20. Thank you, Mindy Project. Email, GayTalk2.0. @gmail.com. Tommy, take it away.
Yes, you can also contact us by visiting our website, where you can actually leave us a comment or a suggestion. You can submit questions for the cast and or an individual host. You can also leave us a question via voice message for the cast to answer on the show by calling 334-GAY-TALK. If you need the numbers, that's 334-429-8255. Do you guys remember when I fucked that up the last time? It was horrible.
Well, I was giggling when you're like, you can leave comments or suggestions.
I feel like sometimes we all try to talk and we just kind of run into a brick wall.
It's just like,
that's all the time. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Y'all have a fantastic night.
Bye. Suggestions.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.